Because there's a difference between a voice. I hope you're getting my point. Because that voice, it's an eruption of what is in the heart of God. And if you don't discover it, no matter how accurate your letters are, they don't carry any spirit. That's a lot of Christians. If all you operate by is people's testimonies, that's why you have not gotten any testimony yourself. The Christian and the Israelites entered into the parted, the waters parted. They went in between the water and then they went to the other side. And the Egyptians said, is that how it works? What happened? They entered. And the end of the day, what happened to them? The waters overwhelmed them and they died. Let me tell you something. Testimonies are not supposed, they are not meant for you to go and repeat. They are meant to show you the fact that God is alive. Then you go and meet the God that is alive and he will tell you what to do in your own situation that you may have your own testimony. That's why he said in Hebrews chapter 12, he says, since that we have this cloud of witnesses. Do you get my point? He now said, let's fix our eyes on Jesus. No, read it. Quickly go there. We have witnesses, but he now said, no, don't put your eyes on the witnesses. So therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. This is the point. We have witnesses. We have testimonies, but we don't go around repeating testimonies. They just encourage us to go and look for our own testimony. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. Many people say, somebody was sick. He did not take any medicine. And he became well. Next thing you hear that Christians don't take medicine. You see where the problem is? Next thing you hear is, no, we Christians, we don't take medicine. I've heard people say, in our church, we don't take medicine. If the reason why you don't take medicine is because in your church they don't take medicine, you're about to go to an early grave. Yet you can be in a church where medicine is legal and you don't take. Because you have discovered the medicine itself. And you have become so aware of the fact that he took your infirmities and your pains and that by his stripes you have been healed, that you don't see any necessity for the medicine. It is not because in our church they don't take medicine. And that's it, you don't take medicine. That's the problem we have. People repeat words. They don't have the voice of God resonating on their inside. That's why whichever name you call Jesus by, either you call him Yeshua or Joshua or Jesus, like they say in the Mexicans say, or Jesu in Yoruba land. How do they say it here? You want Jesus, my friend, be careful yourself. Jesus is an Igbo name. It's also Jesu. Jesu. Or Isa, whatever name you call him. And that's why even though you name your son Jesus Christ, he won't save the world. So whichever name you call him by, when you are calling him, what is resonating inside you? Do you get what I'm saying? If it is the Jesus whom Paul preaches, the demon will soon cut your head. Do you get my point? He said, I adjure you in the name of Jesus Christ whom Paul preaches. The demon will say, give me my spare cutlass. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who is this empty man echoing words that have no meaning to him? That's how he went after the seven sons of Sceva and walloped them thoroughly. If a man, that's in this place where he came from, Jesus, somebody came many years ago who was not speaking plenty grammar. The language was hum, 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 hum. And the name he gave Jesus for them was hum. But they know that hum took their infirmities. Hum took their pains. Hum was beaten for their sake. The chastisement of their peace was upon hum. And by hum stripes, they were healed. And was hung on the cross. They will come in the midst of everybody and see a demon manifest and say, in the name of... And you see the demon will disappear. Because whatever sound they are uttering, it is what it is projecting in the realm of the spirit. That is what brings forth the power of God. You see, the problem we have this is in Christianity. It is well only means that we go to a church where they say it is well. So he said, somebody said that. How are you feeling? He said, bro, I'm strong. What he means is I'm very sick. But they said it's forbidden for him to say, I'm sick. So he said, yeah. Ah, praise God. The kind of strength in my body has not let me sleep for the last 3 days. I said, strength did not allow you to sleep. Bros, don't kill English language for us. Say it the way it is. Bros, I have not been feeling well. And there's nothing wrong with that. Paul said the first time we met was because of a bodily infirmity. When you say I'm well, it should be because you are persuaded that the word is working wellness in you. You must desire growth. Let me go on to the next thing I want to say. I said this last time and I'd like to go over it again. Just now I was talking about testimonies, Hebrews chapter 11. Year of testimonies. Men who stopped the mouth of lions. That's Daniel. You hear of testimonies. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Men who they wanted to throw into the fiery furnace. And they threw inside. And yet, even the smell of smoke was not found on them when they came out. Men who stood in the face of trials. Many gave their heads in the midst of those trials. We've heard all of those stories. And if you read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, I explained the principle behind it. There was the Spirit of God working in them. All right? But let me just go on to the next thing I said. So in that Hebrews chapter 12, we now discover that the Bible says that having heard all these testimonies, we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, who can really bring us into the personal experience of our own faith. Now, this is what I'm going to bring out. When you hear testimonies here and there, what happens, at least it happened to me as a young believer, and listen to them, I'm talking about people repeating testimonies. You know, there was one man, I think in Ife, who decided to go and jump into the lion's den because his God can stop lions. And you know what happened to him? Remember the story? The lion had not had to fight for his meal in a long time. That was the first time the lion was killing a living animal. That was a very animalistic behavior anyway. That was not faith. Many years ago, Yonggi Cho described a scandal they had in Korea. Some men were going for a program and there was plenty flooding. There was no boat. They decided that they can walk on water. About 4 young men joined their hands. They prayed and decided to walk on the sea to the island they were going to. And the next time they saw them, their bodies were floating on the water. If you read Yonggi Cho's story, he described it there. A lot of times people have tried to take steps of faith and they have only brought shame to the name of Christ Jesus. Now, there's a reason why I'm telling all these stories. I say something to you again and again. If you are not sure of what you are doing, please, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, don't do it. If you are going to do something, why are you doing it? That's how Pastor Banky does it. You have just entered into original trouble. This is how our Gio does it. This is how our Papa does it. Isaac and Hagin said he did it. Once you start that, you are in trouble. Even if it is God that said do it like that, in quote, that's what I'm saying now, and you are not sure, and you start doing it, and you start doubting, and you become afraid, you know what happens? You sink. That was what happened to Peter. Who told him to come? The Lord Jesus Christ. Did he still sink? Plenty. Plenty. He sank very well. It was while he was sinking that he shouted that Jesus now rushed and helped him. And peradventure you have taken steps in which you are sinking right now. Brethren, shout. Do you get my point? Shout to God, he will come and help you. Faith, listen, the word faith, I have discovered it in recent times. It means something that you are persuaded about. And of course, there are two sides to it. If you are persuaded about a lie, it's called a delusion and you will fail. But if you are persuaded about the truth, you will find the results of God in your life. But whether it's true or not, you must be persuaded. That's what I'm coming to. First, it must be true. That's number one. Then number two, you must be persuaded that it is true. Do you get my point? Don't join a church where they say they don't take medicine. And because they said you don't take, and you were raised in the taking of chloroquine, and paracetamol, you will get the kind of malaria that will teach you the godly sense. Because you went to church, they said, we don't take medicine here. It is not as if the word entered you enough to tell you that you don't need it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? Please, though. I know why I'm saying all of these things. Now, we saw those kind of testimonies. That's the next thing. Please desire them. I said that don't do them until you are sure. Number two, what did I say? Desire them. You should. One of the problems I have in Christianity these days is that we have become too prosperous. We don't know how to pray to get out of trouble anymore. We know all the natural methods. We don't magnify the working of the power of God in this life anymore. That's one of the problems we have in today's Christianity. Are you getting my point? You should desire great things. And something happened to Paul. That's where I'm going to next. All right? Like I was saying, we read all those stories in Hebrews chapter 12. When you read those stories in Hebrews chapter 12, when you read the account of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and some references made to it in the book of Acts and further down, they should challenge you to something. Don't think all the Lazaruses that need to be raised have been raised. There are some Lazaruses hidden in their graves, waiting for when you two will attain to sonship and equality with God that you can call them out of their graves. And you should know that in your minds. This is what I'm making. Paul read those things. And having read them, he said, I am going for one thing. Let's read that. Please, I hope I'm not confusing what I'm saying. I've explained the fact that, number one, let me turn it around. You must desire great things. You must desire for the power of God to be manifested in your life. But of course, faith does not mean you just do things that are rash. Just because you heard somebody else say it. Because that voice has not come into you. You are just copying the words that somebody else spoke. It doesn't work like that. It is like the Egyptians trying to enter into the waters, the Red Sea that was parted, because the Israelites went through. I've said it several times, be careful when you are following a blessed man. Be very careful. A brother was giving me a testimony here, and I told you, I said, when he was applying for the job he got in Lagos, people said, it's a crazy idea, don't do it. Even he initially forgot about it. Then he went back, took one of the tips that I preached, one of the messages that I preached, he listened to it and said, no, I can do this thing. The word spoke to him by himself. Are you getting my point? And then he went and he did it. And then he was appointed. He got the job. And his friends now said, if we knew it was like this, we also would have tried. I said, if they had tried, they would have failed. Because the natural order was for failure. The natural order was any man facing the Red Sea should better find another direction. Are you getting my point? But when some people, the word of God came to them, they divided the Red Sea and they passed through. Then the Egyptians said, if we knew it was like that, we should also pass through. You know what happened? They went through and you know the rest of the story. They never made it to the other side. I said, if your friends had tried it, they would not have gotten anything. Because you acted in faith, and this is a problem, let me say it again. The young man will write a book. Are you getting my point? A lot of people will read the book, and it is how he did it. They will start doing it. Then after they have failed severally, they will now come explaining that it does not work like that. The truth is that it works like that, but it doesn't work like that. You understand what I'm saying? It worked for him the way he said it. But before he took the step, there was a force in the realm of the spirit blowing him in that particular direction. You don't have it. You are struggling in that particular direction, and therefore, the seed didn't part for you. Be careful when you are following a blessed man. Before, I used to think that everybody should make my decisions in life. Now I have learned. No, they shouldn't. If they don't know what I know, they shouldn't do what I'm doing. Don't handle your life the way I handle mine, except you know what I know. That's why I don't like counseling people. People show up from the road. Pastor Bank want to talk to you. Who are you? My name is John Bull. I said, where's John Bull from? I came from Newe. Do we have an appointment? No. Have we met before? No. I want to talk to you. I said, sorry. Listen, there was one young man, he felt very bad that day. He came from Osaka at night. No, he came from Osaka. It was finally at night he managed to see me after one program. And he said he came to me that I should counsel him, and I refused. The boy couldn't believe it. I refused totally. I told him, go and talk to somebody else. I gave him two or three of my co-workers. I said, talk to them. If they say, Pastor Banky, talk to this man, I will. I said, until then, I'm sorry. He explained that he came from Osaka, and I explained that I was going home. I entered my car and I left. Pastor Banky, you're a very wicked soul. No, I'm not. I don't give instructions to men who I have not taught. Are you getting my point? There are a number of issues with it. Number one, like I always say, why should I give you alone all the teachings I've given the whole world? I don't know where I get my point. That's one. I only counsel people that I know. I've been seeing you around here. I know we have been relating, you know, spiritually. I know the words that I'm teaching have been entering you. Now you have gotten to a point where the Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, then you now come up. I know we're already on the same page. So if I give you a word, do you get what I'm saying? It just flows still on that same page that we are both on. Therefore, you can act upon it and things will turn out well. But when a stranger who I don't know what he believes shows up suddenly, I don't know what you get what I'm saying. What am I going to tell him? The only thing I can do is to teach him everything I have taught everybody that's been showing up here every week for years. So no matter what I do is that, I say, come. Have you read this particular CD in Limit book? He says, no, go and buy it. One day, one young man came and I said, I need to see you. I said, you must think yourself very important. Anyway, it was my student, so I could abuse him small. I said, I should come and sit down, give you time to talk to me. He said, we have things to discuss, me and you, for what? I said, better, it was downstairs. I said, better go upstairs. There's somebody there. Go and buy CDs. It's not because of money. How much are you buying the CD? Pick up a few books and go and read. And make sure I see you for Bible study. When I have seen you a few times, then I know we can talk. The next time he showed for Bible study, he told me simply that he didn't need to talk to me anymore. That the things I preached, that after he read one of the books, there's another person like that, he came, he said, he needed to talk to me. Now, after that, we have not gotten to know each other. I said, go and read that book, go and read that one. By the time he finished reading Acquire Life, he said, buying Acquire Life. Did you get my point? And he said, you have my kind of problem, read this one. You have my kind of problem. Read it. He started giving it out to people. Because it's when the word has entered into somebody that the voice of God is discovered. The voice of God that is discovered now comes forth as a word of action for him. Then things flow. If you go and counsel somebody who doesn't believe all the things you are saying, you now say, do it like this. When it goes upside down, you say, you see, I wanted to do like this. So now you say, me, I go talk to pastor. I talk to pastor now. He said, I should do like this. He could throw them inside now. Is this your pastor that caused all my problem? It's not wickedness when I don't do counseling. You can't walk off from off the road. I ask you, you know they go to church? Sir, they go and talk to your pastor. Say, sir, I know that you have a word for me. I don't. It's a lie. I don't. I'm not deceiving me. The word that I have for you is on CDs, is on books. One CD has an average of 10 messages. So if you first time you came, you wanted to see me and I refused to talk to you, this is why. Nothing personal. I don't chance for counseling. It's not as if I looked at it and said, this guy can't pay for my counseling. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm a pastor and teacher. You know, we discussed that earlier. You bring a malnourished child and say, take. In 30 minutes, fatten him up. Does it make sense? A child that is malnourished. Say, doctor, take. I want this boy fat. I'll be back and go to the market. In 1 hour, give him back to me. But if it's a boy that you have been feeding, you now say, doctor, I think he's febrile a bit. I can give him one small tablet and the fever will come down. That's the way it is. Though. Whether you are rich or poor is besides the point. It's whether you have been feeding on this thing. So when you want my opinion, go and get a book, go and get a tape, go and get a CD. The CD contains plenty. And this is not a joke. Almost every time that I've talked to people like that, they have come back and said, we don't need to talk to you anymore. That message answered half of the questions. The other one took the other half. Now let me get back to what I was saying. So Paul was explaining that having experienced and heard the stories of all the things that happened in the life of Jesus, I also have a quest. And that's what I'm preaching to you believers again this evening. He said, I also have a quest. I want to achieve something like that. And let me say it again before I read this thing of Paul. Please forgive me, all right? The fact is that what Jesus did, go and read Hebrews chapter 1 and chapter 2. He did so that you can also do it. This is what happened. Jesus lived a life. Are you getting my point? It's called righteousness. And by the power of righteousness, he got to a point that the Father looked and said, everybody hear this. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Even dead Lazarus, you must hear him. Are you getting my point? That's called an inheritance. What did I call it? What did I call it? An inheritance. There was one young man. This is a movie we watched when we were children. Chinese film, you know? Bushing, bushing, bushing. Chinese film. He was a tout of a kind. So one day he and his friends got into trouble. They needed plenty of money to build themselves out of trouble. He pulled a ring from his finger, gave to one of his friends, said, go to this particular place. Ask to see the big boss there. Show him this ring. Tell him I said you give us $25,000. They looked at him like, what are you talking about? He said, just do as I have said. He pulled a ring. I can't remember the exact figure. I just put $25,000 to make everybody easy, find it easy to understand. I mean, they were all no area boys on the street. They were in trouble and they needed to build themselves out of the deep trouble they were in. So he pulled a ring out, gave to one of his partners, said, go to this particular place, ask to see the big boss, show him this ring, and tell him I said he should give you $25,000. The guy got there. He found one gigantic corporation. Asked to see the big man. Said, this was one so person said, I should collect $25,000 from you. Now, why should I give him? The guy put out the ring and showed him the ring. The man looked at the ring and said, okay, go and pack it $25,000 and give this boy. This guy was shocked. Like, you mean it's that easy? Now, I watched this story, this movie, I mean, over 20 years ago. Why I remember it now is because of that word inheritance. Actually, what they did not know, his father was a big man. He was his an only son who was a crazy son. His father gave him that ring, and that was a proof. If he had that ring, the father knew you had the boy. So when they needed anything, just go and show him the ring, you give him the money. I use that one to explain the meaning of the word inheritance. Everything that man had was packaged, as it were, in that ring. And once you show that ring, you got anything. You get the point? And that's how it is with Jesus Christ. Everything that he worked, because in his own case, he wasn't free. I told you, nothing is free in the realm of the Spirit. Everything is paid for. He paid for everything by the power of righteousness. And he got his ring. The power of God. Are you getting my point? Listen. Listen to this. A time came, he told the disciples, nobody can take anything from me. The prince of this world is coming, he has nothing in me. He said, I laid down my life of myself. What's next thing he said? When I don't tire, I will take it up again. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to explain. That is, he had the power to lay down his life and take it up again. That was what God gave him because of the work he had with God. Listen to me. It was not because of how he was born, but because of after he was born, how he walked. And everything that the Father had called a blessing on this earth, he collected. The ring was his own. You know that ring I'm talking about now? And that's what's called inheritance. And then the next thing, he now went to the cross and died. So that anybody who will call his name can collect that ring and use it. Did you hear what I said? Look, that's what it is. He said the reason was so that he might bring many sons to glory. Please, I need to emphasize this thing. Now, please listen to this. Therefore, I brought down an issue there that the life that you saw Jesus live, he was on a boat. There was calamity. He rose up and said, peace be still. That's the ring of God he was carrying. It's called the inheritance. Nicodemus saw it and said, come, Oga. No one can do this thing except God is with him. No one. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? And then he now looked. He did not say, you know I'm a son of God. No. He said, except a man be what? Born again. He can't step into this thing that I stepped into. Now, why am I telling the whole story? Paul now looked at it and said, me too, I must step into it. Did you hear what I said? Paul said what? I must step into it. And listen to me, it is not just about calling the name Jesus. It is about the Father looking at you also and saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. That was why it was a life quest of Paul. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm trying to explain what should be the quest of your own life also. The quest of your life should not be, I must be rich and live in a big house. It must be that a time will come. If I like a kind of house, I will call it to be. And by the following week, I'm living in it. After a week, I'm tired of it. I walk out of it, that is to somebody else. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? That to labor like everybody to achieve a particular kind of house is not godliness. I don't know whether you are following my point. Your own should be that, okay, one day they will catch me in a fix and I'll tell somebody, wait, take this card. The pin is 1234. Go to the nearest ATM. Put it inside. It's your card. It's your account. I know nothing there inside. Before then. I say, punching 25,000, it will just be enough to solve this problem. And your assistant will take the card, go in there, say, oh, God said the pin is 1234. Pam, 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 pam. Push. Before you know what's happening, 25K rolls out. And it goes, and you pay the money. By the time he was leaving, there was no money in that account. That is because you spoke. The angels had mobilized and had 25,000 deposited one way or the other into that account, that the word of the servant of God might not fall to the ground. Listen to me. Elijah did not pray so that rain will not fall. It was for rain to fall that he started praying. When he stopped the rain, it was out of vexation. You know the call of vexation? The man just vexed. So you people say, you are 12 the lottery. Okay, no rain again. Until I say so. And like I said, Israel needed to pray that the man didn't die. Otherwise, until Jesus came down, there will have been no rain. Jesus will have had to personally come and wipe away that curse. For your information, you know why there's desert in Sahara Desert? They've killed some prophets who prophesied against the land. You know, when I say this, it'd be like a joke. I'm telling you what I'm saying, no. They don't kill prophets. Until sons will arise from that place, those places, and pray. And that's why, as long as they are shouting Allahu Akbar, desert will continue to encroach. You hear what I said? Okay, I know what I'm saying. So, Paul said, Paul understands all of this. Let's now quickly read Paul. Let's close. He said, finally, my brethren, verse 1 of Philippians chapter 3. He said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me. It's a safeguard for you. Please, because of my time, I'm going to jump now. From verse 3, he said, for we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. He said, even though I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. What he was saying is that if anybody has a reason to boast in his flesh and think he can accomplish something by his flesh, I should be the one because I have so many natural advantages. I don't have time to read all the advantages. He said from verse 7, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Please, let me explain something quickly before I go on. When he said for the sake of Christ, he was not saying I'm doing this for the advantage of the person Christ Jesus. What he was saying is that I'm doing this that I might gain Christ. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm doing it for the sake of what I'm going to gain. Now, please get what I'm saying. He said, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, but that, I'm jumping now, please, you know that I jumped some lines, but that which is true faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him, please, this is where I was going, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Please notice verse 12. Not that I have already obtained it, as I said, I'm writing, or have already become perfect, but I press on. Everybody say press on.
Press on.
In order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Now, please, let me just stop here, all right? Now, I've explained a lot of things. That Jesus, his life, showed the demonstration of God's power working with him. And that's exactly what God wants your life to be. Unlike what we thought, those that want to give your life to Christ, that's automatically your portion. Paul made it clear to us that it's not like that. That what happens is that a man keeps pressing on. Are you getting my point? A woman keeps pressing on. Every child of God keeps pressing on so that they might attain to what he called Christ. What it means is this. That is, they might come to the fullness of the stature of Christ so that God can look at them and confer a heavy dose of his power into their everyday living. Are you getting the point I'm making? Do you understand my point? And let me say it again. Because our time has gone to, let me quickly round everything off. Number one, all right, is the infilling of the word of God. That's the number one ingredient. That's a good word. That's the number one ingredient that we use, all right? But before we even get to those ingredients, the thing I want to emphasize is that must be the quest of our hearts. I said that last week. I said, you see, read all those things of Hebrews chapter 11. All those demonstrations of the power of God in this life. What Paul was saying is simple. I have seen it also, and I want to experience it in my life. Do you understand the logic? Do you understand the logic? Therefore, when you read testimonies, I'm back to it. It is not just to step out and start copying what somebody else did. It's to go and find out with God how a man works with him till he gets to that level where he can take such steps in boldness, in faith. Because if any man does such things in faith, he will always see the power of God working in his life. Do you get my point? It is not just that I heard that this is how somebody else did it, and I'm going to do it like that, and there's no voice working in my life like that. No. I know that these things are possible. So I now go back home and start diligently studying the word of God in prayer, because it is not just about reading the letters. Jesus said, you said the scriptures, thinking that in them you have eternal life, but you won't come to me. He said, but the scriptures only testify of me. If anybody wants eternal life, he must have the testimony of Jesus. That's what he was saying in effect. So that's why we take the scriptures together with prayer. We eat the word of God, not as if we are reciting. Remember that my story about the man who was going from one party zone to another, trying to recite things that don't have voices in him. No. But when we have seen that kind of experience, let me use mundane things to explain now. If that man wanted that kind of power, he should have gone to meet the man who was doing that thing and said, oh boy, how did you do that? The man would have told him, follow me home. When he gets home, he says, sit down here, take this knife, cut your finger. He said, how can I cut my finger? He said, you must first shed your blood into this calabash. They mix it with something. He said, you must join a group of people. Then they join. Then they start having meetings at night. You have followed what I'm going to say. Then after a while, they teach him how to contact the powers of a certain realm. Then next time he goes out and he repeats those words will be drawing powers from certain realms. Do you get the logic of what we are saying? That is what, you see, that's what a lot of people do with the Bible. They don't understand it. They think it's just by carrying the scriptures and quoting. They have not eaten the flesh and drank the blood of the Son of God. They have not yet resisted sin to the shedding of their own blood. You are getting what I'm saying? Yeah, they think they just quote one scripture and say, I reject it. That is, what do we do as believers? We have seen that the Christ life is available. That we don't have to die like unbelievers. Are you getting my point? The troubles of life don't have to afflict us like unbelievers. Listen to me. If you feed upon the word of God, it will make you so strong. All the plagues of life will not be able to stick on your body. You've read testimonies. G. Lake said there was a time the power of God was surging through him so strong. He was ministering to those who were afflicted by plague. And they said, let us immunize you. He said, it's not necessary. Any of the bacteria that touches my skin will die. Oh boy, don't think it's a joke. And they were just joking. They were not joking. Those things were tested. And they were found out to be real. Most Christians just get up and say, and he was a Christian like me too. They go out and say, hey, where are they? Oh, yeah, where's the Ebola virus? Come. And the Ebola, of course, will punish him small, then release him, that he might learn the will of God. No, but what is he supposed to do? He's supposed to go back home, kneel down in prayer, and say, God, this is your power that I have discovered. Then he starts reading the scriptures. Because you see, because of time, I will stop here. God begins to reveal to him the hindrances in his life that's not allowing the power of God connect with him properly. But that's, you only get to know those things when you have a quest. Sometimes my wife and I will be talking. She'll say that, how come people don't? I say, listen, what they are looking for is not what you are looking for. It is what you are looking for that decides what you will find out. Some of the things I say, he said, how come other preachers don't know it? I say, because they don't want to know it. It's what you are looking for in life that God uses to give you revelation. If the power of God is the thing you are dying for, sometimes God will take away your job just so that you will have the time to seek that power properly. You know what Paul said? That Philippians chapter 3 we were reading just now. Paul said, these are the things. He said, I suffer the loss of these things. Listen, it is not as if Paul woke up in the morning and said, let me go and lose them. Did you hear what I said? He didn't wake up in the morning to say, let me go and lose these things. They were the things that he lost in the process of making choices to gain Christ. The point is this, a lot of us are more interested in our standing in the synagogue. Therefore, next time you come, they say, hey, you know these things offend them. Don't mention the name Christ. Just tell them about holy living. So Paul will come and say, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. And that's good gospel, isn't it? If you obey the will of God, the power of God will come into your life. And that's gospel, isn't it? He will say everything, but avoid mentioning the name Christ, Jesus. Because once he mentions that name, Jesus, trouble will start again in that synagogue. That's what we do a lot these days as Christians. When I was reading, this is one of my books. I had to tell myself that, Pastor Banky, when this book goes out, know that some doors of preaching are closed to you permanently. Then I told myself, but it is the truth, we must tell it. As you go on in life, life will be making choices. That is either Christ or something else. And when you make a choice, life will be making demands, I wanted to say. And when you make a choice to gain Christ, you will suffer the loss of certain things. That's when you're on your way to spiritual maturity, so that you can experience the power of God indeed.